Well, legalizing marijuana in recreational and medical forms, same-sex marriage, doctor-assisted suicide, tax reform. These are just some of the 174 ballot questions that voters will consider in the general election on November 6th. In 24 states, citizens can get laws on the books. In some states, propose constitutional amendments. By collecting enough signatures to put measures before voters through the initiative process, 48 states also have referendum questions that the legislatures put on the ballot. There are a lot of both. Miami, Dade County, and Florida has a 12-page ballot. So for a survey of some of these issues, let's bring in Jenny Bowser of the National Conference of State Legislatures. She's on the line with us from Denver. Jenny, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Start with marijuana. 17 states already have medical marijuana laws on the books, but now 3 states want to expand that to recreational use. Who are we talking about? Which states? And what are the measures' chances?
Right. So the 3 states are Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. And these measures are all very similar to what was on the ballot in California 2 years ago, if you can remember back that far. Proposition 19 then would have legalized the use and sale and possession of marijuana for anybody age 21 or older and regulated it and taxed it much in the same way alcohol is regulated and taxed. So these 3 measures pretty much do the same thing.
And we should say that in California that was turned down, right?
It was rejected, not by a wide margin, but it was rejected.
We have some polling. Ballot Watch says that in Colorado and Washington, these initiatives are leading in the polls. So even though California turned this down, might there be a bellwether here if a couple of these 3 states pass marijuana use?
You know, I think that's possible. I think that's probably what legalization proponents are hoping for, that they can assemble a sort of critical mass of states that have approved this, and that might be the wedge to push the federal government to act on it. Because, you know, even if these states do legalize marijuana, it's still illegal under federal law.
And here in Massachusetts, we're reminded that voters decriminalized small amounts of marijuana possession back in 2008. And this year, Massachusetts is one of 3 states voting on medical marijuana laws. Arkansas, the first southern state to consider medical marijuana. Talk a little bit about the importance there.
Well, that's probably because most of the initiative states are in the west. They're to the west of the Mississippi. When you think of the initiative, most people think of California or maybe Oregon. And not as many of the southern states and the eastern states have an initiative process available. And most of the states that have legalized medical marijuana have done it that way via the initiative.
And by the way, in Montana, voters there approved a medical marijuana law in 2004. And they're being asked now to overturn some legislation that cut back some parts of that voter-approved law.
Right. So they're trying to return to the language that was in the initiative that voters originally passed rather than the more restrictive language in the legislation passed by the legislature.
It's kind of a reminder that no matter what voters do at the ballot, the legislature could then tinker with it.
Sometimes. In some states, they're restricted from doing that, or they maybe face a time period during which they can't, or they have to get a supermajority vote. There are variations on that theme.
Let's switch to the same-sex marriage propositions. 5 states have same-sex marriage propositions on the ballot this year. Take us through a little bit of the history, because opponents of same-sex marriage say that whenever the possibility of same-sex marriage is put before voters, they turn it down. What is the history?
Well, that's relatively close to the truth. So over the last about 15 years, 30-odd states have considered questions saying, would you like to restrict marriage as to between one man and one woman? So it essentially banned same-sex marriage. And in all but one of those votes, voters have agreed to restrict marriage to opposite-sex couples. The one exception is Arizona, where in 2006 they said no to a same-sex marriage ban, but then in 2008 they came back and approved one. But so, no state has ever asked voters directly, would you like to legalize same-sex marriage?
And what have we got this year?
Well, Maine voters are being asked that question. Then we have one of the more traditional restrict marriage to between one man and one woman. That's on the ballot in Minnesota in November, and it was on the ballot earlier this year in North Carolina in a primary election. And then there are questions in Maryland and Washington. What happened in those 2 states is that the legislature passed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage. The governor signed the bill, but opponents of same-sex marriage circulated a petition, got enough signatures to demand a popular vote, a chance for voters to veto this bill passed by the legislature.
There seems to be a shift in thinking about same-sex marriage. What do polls show?
Well, I've got 3 really interesting little bits on that. So first is the Pew Center on the States. does a poll on religion and public life. And back in 2001, they asked people how they felt about same-sex marriage. And in 2001, 35% of people polled supported it, 57% opposed it. In 2012, that same poll has flipped. It's 48% in support of same-sex marriage and 43% in opposition. So that shows some change over time nationwide. And then the state-specific polls on these questions on the November ballot are also really notable, a departure from what we've seen in the past. In Maine, 53% of people polled support same-sex marriage. In Maryland, 54%. In Washington, 56%. Minnesota's polls are actually in a statistical tie right now, 48% in favor of banning same-sex marriage and 47% oppose the ban. If you measure how many people vote in support of same-sex marriage, that number's been creeping up ever since 2005. And the last vote outside the South was in 2009. 47% of people voted in favor of same-sex marriage then. It's a little lower in the South, but still on the upswing.
Take a look at tax-related measures on the ballot. In California, there's Proposition 30, which is sponsored by Governor Jerry Brown. It increases the income tax on earnings over $250,000, increases the sales tax by, 0.25%. And it's just for, maybe 7 or 4 years, respectively, mm-hmm. for those two taxes. You've noticed a trend with these tax proposals.
Yeah, I have. So a lot of the increases in taxes this year would direct the new revenue to education programs. So I've tracked all of the proposed tax increases that have been on statewide ballots since 1992. 32.5% have been approved by voters. But if you separate out just the 18 that directed the majority of the new revenue to education, voters approved 44.4% of those. So I think that voters view tax increases that benefit education in a somewhat more favorable light than general tax increases.
Well, it's interesting. Again, in California, there's another initiative. We mentioned the one spearheaded by the governor, Jerry Brown, but there's another one that would also raise income taxes across the board for 12 years and would give 60% of the revenue to education. But people in California are concerned that there's more than one measure in California about raising taxes, and people might get confused.
Yeah, and, historically, seeing two competing initiatives on the same topic on one ballot has been very often the kiss of death for both proposals, that voters don't know how to sort out the details, the differences between the two, and decide that the status quo is safer and vote no on both.
And by the way, we should add, 4 states have a question that could cut taxes. For instance, Oregon is asking voters about eliminating the estate or inheritance tax. We're talking state ballot questions with Jenny Bowser with the National Conference of State Legislatures. Here's another question in Florida. Question 8 would remove a ban on religious institutions receiving state money. They already get public funds, but they can't use them to proselytize, separation of church and state and all. Church leaders in Florida say they want to remove that ban to ensure their publicly supported charitable work continues, but opponents say removing the ban is just an end run to allow public money for vouchers to go to religious schools. Just one more question on the ballot. We'll hear about others with Jenny in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. As we continue our look at ballot questions, 174 in 37 states. Here in Massachusetts, we have a death with dignity measure, which would allow terminally ill patients to request doctor-assisted suicides. In California, Proposition 37 would require labels for genetically altered food. Jenny Bowser of the National Conference of State Legislatures has been taking us through. So, Jenny, stay with California. They have several criminal justice measures. Tell us more.
Yes, they have 3 criminal justice measures on the ballot in California. Proposition 34, that would repeal the death penalty in California. Proposition 35 would increase the penalties for human trafficking and for certain sex offenses. And then Proposition 36 would revise the 3 strikes amendment that they have in California. I don't know if this is an urban legend or if it really happened, but you hear about the guy who stole a pizza, and that happened to be his 3rd offense, and he ended up going to prison for life for stealing a pizza. What Proposition 36 would say is that a life sentence would only be imposed on a 3rd strike if it was for a serious or violent felony.
I'm not sure about the pizza reference, but there is concern that people are having life sentences with 3rd violations that wouldn't normally give them that kind of a penalty, but because it's the 3rd strike, that is happening. By the way, we're reminded that the three strikes law itself was the result of a ballot initiative in 1994. So here you have voters going back, kind of questioning the very thing that they passed years earlier.
Right.
What else are you watching? What else are you finding interesting this year?
There's a measure in Nebraska. The legislature is asking voters to extend the limits that they've placed on legislators' terms. This is something that's come up in a few states, and no state so far has approved it. There's several animal rights measures on the ballot. In Idaho, Kentucky, Nebraska, and Wyoming, they would like to insert language in the state constitution protecting the right to hunt and fish. There are measures dealing with the Affordable Care Act on the ballot in several states. In general, they say that the state can't compel anyone to have health insurance or to participate in a health care system, and that states can't fine or penalize someone for the failure to have health insurance.
And how does that square with the recent Supreme Court decision upholding the mandate?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. These attempts by states to block implementation of the Affordable Care Act are really untested in court, and, you know, there's some question as to what might happen if it did rise to that level.
And
it's on the ballot in five states this year: Alabama, Florida, Missouri, Montana, and Wyoming. And four states in past elections have already voted on it. I'm sorry, five states. Colorado rejected it in 2010. Arizona, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Ohio have approved some version of this in past years.
Okay, just a couple broad brush questions here. You've seen a spike in the number of popular referendum that's allowing citizens to overturn laws passed by the legislature. But what, not as many ballot initiatives overall?
Well, so we have a total of 174 measures on statewide ballots. 44 of those come from the initiative process. That's where citizens propose laws and changes to the Constitution and gather signatures to qualify for the ballot, and then voters can say yes or no. 44 of those this year. The 20-year average is more like 62. So those numbers are still relatively low. We have 12 popular referenda on the ballot among those 174 measures, and that's actually remarkably high. You have to go all the way back to 1920 to find another election where there were that many popular referenda.
So, those are questions that allow voters to overturn laws passed by the legislature. But this idea of getting an issue on the ballot, and you're seeing a little bit of downswing in that, why is that, do you think?
Well, you know, honestly, I think it's a symptom of our struggling economy. Qualifying a question for the ballot is very often an expensive operation. You have to pay people to gather the signatures. Very often there's polling going on in the exact language. Very often you have pre-election challenges over technicalities in the process. Then if you get through all of that and you gather enough signatures and you survive all those challenges, you have to put on a campaign. And then very often you have to challenge it in court again after it gets approved. So I think that dip in the number of initiatives is due to the fact that these organizations and groups have had trouble raising the money to qualify for the ballot and battle to get their initiative passed.
What are the rules when it comes to ballot questions and money? I mean, we know because of the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, there's a heck of a lot more money in campaigns in general. But what are the rules that apply to getting ballot questions going?
Well, there are not very many rules, and there has always been a lot more money in the initiative process than in candidate campaigns in the states. This goes back to a Supreme Court decision from the 1970s called Buckley versus Vallejo, and one of the key pieces of that case was this distinction between spending money on candidate races and spending money on so-called issue races. And the rationale is that it's okay to limit how much money people and organizations can give to candidates because a candidate is potentially corruptible. But an issue cannot be corrupted, therefore it's not okay to limit how much money is raised and spent in issue campaigns. And that's what initiatives are all about. So states are left not able to limit how much money is contributed to initiative committees or how much money is spent by initiative committees. And really the only tool left in the toolbox is disclosure, and even that is difficult in initiative campaigns.
Well, and according to the National Institute of Money in State Politics, $210 million has been spent on initiatives, and a lot of this is, you know, lobbying efforts on the part of people who would benefit by a question going one way or the other.
A good example is gambling initiatives on the ballot. Very often these are worded in a way that would allow a very specific organization to open a very specific casino in a very specific place.
That's Jenny Bowser of the National Conference of State Legislatures, a look at some of the ballot questions voters will be taking on in this November 6th election. Jenny, thanks so much.
Sure, thank you.
So staying for a second with politics, much is being made of the debate. Not Romney, Obama, but Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart online Saturday. Here's a portion after Bill O'Reilly said that under President Obama, disability claims skyrocketed. There was this, starting with Jon Stewart.
Barack Obama did not change the rules for entitlements in this country.
He made it a lot easier to get them. Sure he did.
He didn't.
They advertise on the radio for food stamps. Are you kidding me?
Why is it that if you take advantage of a tax break and you're a corporation, you're a smart businessman, but if you take advantage of something that you need to not be hungry, you're a moocher? What kind of business is that?
We will link you to the rumble in the air-conditioned auditorium as it was billed at hereandnow.org. And I'm going to start talking like that. Latest news is next.